cell phones. Just about everybody has one. But have you ever thought about reviving your cell phone for mission? Welcome to Revival for Mission. Today, we'll be talking with someone who knows all about how to use a cell phone to reach others for Jesus. We'll also hear about an organization of Christian business people who work together to fund unique mission projects. This and more today on Revival for Mission. Some months ago, I had the privilege of attending a conference of business people, men and women, who were passionate about mission. And they were all talking about how to use their talents and their resources to be revived for mission. Pastor Wilson, I know you've attended some of those conferences. It was so inspiring to me.
It is always inspiring to visit the special convention called ASI Convention, which is Adventist Layman's Services and Industries, ASI, and to see how people are sharing Christ in the marketplace. That's their theme.
So they may not be, they're not a pastor necessarily, or but they're involved in mission.
Lay people, people who are in all kinds of disciplines in life, could be in health work, could be in business, some kind of business, insurance, whatever it is, but people who are making contact with others and at the same time sharing Jesus.
So they've caught a glimpse of being involved in mission.
Absolutely.
How long has this organization, ASI, been in existence?
Well, it started when a number of organizations that were called self-supporting institutions, organizations that supported themselves through some kind of business, some kind of activity, could have been a farm or something like this, and they would support themselves not to make money for themselves, but to do mission. And so they were called self-supporting institutions. And ASI was started in 1947 when a group of these institutions, these mission outreach activity-oriented institutions, decided to become an organization that would help to encourage each other and also promote mission, revival for mission, everybody to be involved in sharing. And so it was called the Association of Self-Supporting Institutions at that time. Now it's Adventist Layman's Services and Industries, still ASI, with the same purpose, and that is to share the gospel with people who need to hear it in the marketplace, in the place where people are.
Now, when I attended, there were, I think, thousands of people there. There were doctors and lawyers and business people. So there was a broadening of that platform of many people who are not full-time religious workers saying, we want to be involved in mission.
Exactly. You'll find all kinds of people who are members of ASI. And they are passionate about it. They're so excited. They develop all kinds of ideas and share them with each other about how to actually touch somebody's life, how to be a witness, how to do it pleasantly and not be overbearing, but to point people in the right direction. So there are all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life, and they all have that one focus.
And at the last ASI convention I attended, they were very generous in giving of their funds to support various mission projects, but also their time.
Oh, time, their talents, their money. In fact, they develop specific projects and ideas. They collect them, and then they try to raise money. And they raise a lot of money to help many of these institutions and organizations that are doing work on the front line. And that's what's so exciting. They like to be focused on really touching the lives of people, not just kind of perpetuating some bureaucratic thing. They want to be involved in mission.
And you've been to a lot of places around the world, seen God working. Why is it such a joy to your heart to see what happens at these meetings of business people and supporting institutions?
These meetings reflect what happens actually in their businesses and in their local churches and local communities. And they're on fire for the Lord. And it's an inspiration to go to these meetings and see the kind of passion that people have, not just to enjoy life themselves, but to be able to point people to Christ's soon return. And that's revival for mission.
You know, at the end of our program, we'll show how people can connect with that organization. But it reminds me of a spiritual thought you have about beautiful feet.
Absolutely. And have you ever wanted to have beautiful feet? Apparently, there are many people who do. Each year, countless people go to special places to have pedicures, spending thousands of dollars yearly in order to have beautiful looking feet. But did you know that the Bible tells us another way everyone can have beautiful feet? In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, we read, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation." You see, yes, indeed, God invites us to have beautiful feet as we carry the gospel to the world around us, a world that is in desperate need of peace, of good things, and of salvation. But who will go? Now, that's a question the Apostle Paul asked in the letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, that's a great question. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, are you willing to answer that call? Are you willing to be revived and ready for mission? God wants to give each one of us beautiful feet as we use the talents and resources he has given us to reach a world in great need. Many are waiting and longing for answers to life's biggest questions. I invite you to make a commitment to the Lord today to reach those who are in need and to say, "Yes, Lord, by your grace, send me. I want beautiful feet to your glory."
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
Today on Revival for Mission, we have a special guest who is passionate about missions, and her story I know will bless your life. Karen, we're glad you're here with us today.
Thank you so
much. How far back does your experience with missions go?
From before birth, because I'm the daughter and granddaughter of missionaries, so.
And you've lived in different countries yourself?
Yes, Honduras, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Korea. United States.
And you've seen mission change lives, but I'm holding in my hand a cell phone that somehow you've started thinking about using a cell phone for evangelism.
Well, it started before me, but I have taken over part of it for a section of the world. But yeah, cell phone evangelism. Did you know you can do evangelism using your cell phone?
Yeah, but what is cell phone evangelism? Tell us about it.
Well, cell phone evangelism is where average and everyday church members like all of us are can find our friends and family and coworkers, people that we know, that we know maybe don't know Jesus in the way that we wish that they did. And we can send them an audio message once a week. That way it downloads quickly. It's not video, it's audio. That is an audio message of hope. It is a full evangelistic message. Mm. And we send those out once a week for a total of 24 weeks for the first series that we have.
That sounds, where do they get the messages? They don't have to think them up themselves.
No, they don't. We already have them recorded in various languages. And I work with Adventist World Radio, and this is part of the ministry of Adventist World Radio, that we can send these messages. So we have them recorded in different languages like Afrikaans, English, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Japanese, just different languages.
But how did this get started? I mean, you know, you can get all kinds of apps for telephones.
Yes.
I mean, telephones do amazing things. How did it get started to do evangelism in an audio way on a cell phone?
Yeah. Well, there was a gentleman, and his name is Neville, in South Africa, who had been a radio host for years. And he was an elder in his church, very, very involved with ministry. But he said to himself, why can't I do more for God? And one day he just got to thinking, because he had just come back from being involved with Total Member Involvement overseas, preaching an evangelistic campaign. And he said, I can't go everywhere. I can't always be on the right schedule with everyone so that they can come to wherever my meetings are. What if I were to record these in audio sound bites and send them to people? So it was his idea. We eventually at Adventist World Radio came across him, found out what he was doing, and the rest is history.
You know, it's exciting to me, Pastor Wilson. Neville has certain gifts and training and talents, and when God revives us for mission, apparently he was involved in some mission work,
right?
All of those talents are going to be used to bless the lives of others.
Yes, and when you ask God to give you ideas of what other things you can do to bless the lives of others, the creativity that comes out, I mean, who would have thought of using a cell phone for evangelistic purposes? But the advantage of it is that people, no matter where they live, no matter where they are, no matter what time of day, they can choose when they have time to sit down and watch them.
How does somebody sign up for something like this? I mean, is it an app? Is it some website you go to? I mean, the practical aspects of getting something on here so you can send it to somebody else.
Yes. Yes, they would contact Adventist World Radio, and at the end of the program, there will be a place on the website that they can go to. But they just text a number, which enrolls them into being a cell phone evangelist. There are videos they can watch that tells them exactly how to do it, short little training videos.
Yeah.
And then we will also send it for them via text, SMS text message, or WhatsApp, which is an app that's used in many places of the world, or even Facebook Messenger. And we will help them to send those out in a very easy way. So even if they're not techie, they can do this.
So I suppose a person could develop all of their own messages and send them out on their cell
phone. They could.
But you're making it a lot easier.
Yes, because it's already done.
I can tell you're excited, so maybe you could share with our Revival for Mission family some stories that might motivate them either to say, send me the messages, or let me be part of this cell phone evangelism initiative.
Yes, there are so many stories. I could keep you here for hours. I know of one story of a lady who had been actually a pastor's wife, but unfortunately what he was in the pulpit and what he was at home were two different things. Mm. And he eventually lost his job, and she became very bitter and decided that she didn't want anything to do with any church. And the day he walked out of their marriage, she walked out of church. Years went by. They thankfully didn't have any kids from that first marriage, but years went by, and she met a really good, solid man. He wasn't a Christian as per se, but he was a good person. And he worked with the police force on narco trafficking to catch people who were narco traffickers. And one day he caught some narco traffickers that had a very large amount of cocaine. And he managed to get all of that, got it taken to the police station. And he was accosted by the owners of that later, and they said, give it back. And he said, I can't. I already turned it in. And besides, drugs hurt people's lives, so I'm not going to give it back. And they said, well, we'll give you $30,000 if you'll give it back. And he said, no. And they said, you'll pay. Well, a few weeks later, his little boy in this country, they graduate from first grade. And he was graduating from first grade, and the little boy and And his sibling went home with a cousin ahead of time, and they came in right behind with their car. And when this man stepped out of the car, he was splayed with 32 bullets. Mm. And he managed to dive back into the car, cover his wife's body, trying to protect her. And he said, "I love you, take care of the kids, and so-and-so killed me." So she had a name, and he died. Now she was really bitter, and she turned to the occult. She missed her husband, wanted to speak to him, and so she would have seances at her house and would talk to who she thought was her husband, and of course it wasn't.
I'm hoping this story is going to take a turn towards cell phone evangelism.
And eventually one day somebody sent her one of these messages, and she started listening, and when it came to the topic of the state of the dead, she was deeply convicted, and it scared her really bad because she was afraid she'd gone too far because she'd been a Christian.
So she's listening to a message on her cell phone
once a week. Okay. Once a week, she's getting these messages, and several weeks have gone by now. And so she got on her knees, asked God to forgive her, picked up all her paraphernalia, threw it out.
Now, this message, back to how it actually works, Pastor Wilson, was sent to her by a friend?
By a friend. So by a friend who was
said,
an Adventist.
I'm going to send this message
and
to
you. The Holy Spirit was directing that particular message about the state of the dead, which actually helps us to understand from the Bible that when you die, it's like you're sleeping. You don't know anything.
Right.
So you can't talk to people who are dead.
And so then she realized that she wasn't talking to her husband.
So she came under conviction as a result of that message.
Right, right. And very shortly thereafter, she started attending a Seventh-day Adventist church because they had covered the topic of the Sabbath, and she was convicted about that. Her kids are now in Pathfinders. But one day when she was having devotion, she read the verse that says, "If we do not forgive men their trespasses, neither can your heavenly Father forgive you." And she thought, okay, well, I'm okay. And God said, "What about your ex-husband?" And she said, "What? No, I don't want to contact the ex-husband, you know, the one that was her first husband." But she felt so deeply convicted that she surrendered that to the Lord. She texted him. She still had his number. Hadn't talked to him in years, but had his number. Texted him and said, "Could I send you some audio messages that have changed my life?" And
so
he was shocked.
There's the revival for mission piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sharing what you've
experienced with somebody else. So she sent it to him. He is now attending church. And then a few days later, she's having devotions again, and she feels doubly convicted. And God says, "What about the man that killed your husband?" And she said, "I don't have his number," but with lots of work, she managed to get it. And he has contacted our pastor representative in that area saying, "I don't know what to do. I need to change my life."
Mm. Beautiful.
So you hear those kinds of stories, or a young lady that came that we know that's to some training and learned how to do it and was sending it. And the very first person that started attending church from her list of friends was her father. That used to be in church many years ago and hasn't darkened the door of any church since she was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And the day he got baptized, she was just tears pouring down her face because Daddy was back.
Pastor Wilson, I like what you said, that it's not our responsibility to control how a person responds to the message.
No.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
But we do have a network of friends, of people, a circle of influence, if you will.
Yes.
And you're saying, share this message, pass it on.
Pass it on to your friends and family, those people, even people, you know, like, I don't know, the person at the checkout at the grocery store that you frequent, you know, the person that, if you live in Oregon or somewhere else, it always pumps your gas, you know, and share the good news that has changed your life and that means so much to you, because that's the beauty of cell phone evangelism, is not only are you reaching your friends, those friends end up sending it on to their friends, and we have evidence that this has gone maybe 7 or 8 layers deep after the first contact. So it's like multiplying, and the joy that it brings to all those layers as it comes up, as they see their friends' lives changed, is just phenomenal.
And it's really not that hard
to
be a cell phone missionary.
No.
I mean, everybody who is revived by the Lord, revived for mission, they are revived to be a missionary.
Yes.
And so when they can electronically simply pass something on to someone who's really meant something to them, you know, then they just leave it in the Lord's hands and somebody might pick it up and listen and their lives are changed.
I know it's so easy with a cell phone. I'm thinking as a parent or grandparent, someone may send you a picture and you say, "That's beautiful. I'm going to forward that to someone I love or care about." It's really a similar principle, isn't it?
Yes.
Forwarding a link to an audio message that they can listen to.
I said, everything from unchurched people to previous church members. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact that we have some people in certain countries that have belonged to anti-government forces, that their lives have changed completely because of the cell phone evangelism. There are some criminals that we happen to know that are taking these lessons because they've contacted us, as well as youth. There's many master guides and teen leadership training, TLTs, that are sharing this with their classmates. And sometimes it only takes one message and they're going to church. And we know of people who have gotten out of drug addiction and alcohol addiction who now are leading Bible study groups at their house when they used to be the problem in the neighborhood.
And that's amazing.
And it's just amazing what God can do.
I was just thinking one of the strengths of this process is a person can explore the truth in
yes.
a non-threatening environment.
Yes. Yes. And for the person that sent it to them, they can ask them questions. So the cell phone evangelist ends up growing spiritually exponentially as well, because they have to search in the Bible to help find. But we also have resources that we send you on each topic to help answer those questions. So if you don't have a theology degree, it doesn't matter. We'll help you become a successful cell phone evangelist.
Now, before Pastor Derek asks you to really make it practical to help people again know how to make mm-hmm. that contact, I've just noted that you sparkle when you're talking about cell phone evangelism. You know, in 30 seconds or 45 seconds, what has your involvement in this unusual mission through cell phones actually done to touch your own life in terms of witnessing?
It has made me see people differently. Mm. It doesn't matter where people come from. Mm. What they're looking for is hope. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, they need hope in their lives. They need answers to the burning questions. They need to know what happened to their family members after they died. They want to know if God can bring peace and comfort to their lives. They live rat race lives and they need to find something. So to be able to be involved with this, to help people get trained to do cell phone evangelism has just been the greatest joy ever, because it's like any pastor being able to duplicate themselves thousands of times over. The amount of people that you're able to reach is unprecedented.
Beautiful.
Thanks so much for sharing with us, Karen. And thank you for being with us for Revival for Mission. You say, I want to learn more. Maybe I want to receive messages myself or learn how I can share them with others. Go to our website, revivalformission.tv. We'll have a link there to all of the resources Karen was sharing about. And you'll have the same enthusiasm as you're revived as you join Jesus in mission.
Sabbath. It's creation Sabbath.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. We've got a few questions, Pastor Wilson, and I'm thinking of it in the context of everyone being involved in mission. Some Christians think we should move to the country. Certainly that's a peaceful place. But the cities where a lot of people live, what does the Bible have to say about where we should live and whether or not we can be involved in mission wherever we live?
Well, and that's the key point. We can be involved anywhere at any time. However, since more than 50% of the world's population now lives in metropolitan areas, that's where the people are, and that's where we need to focus. It is true that it's much better to live in the countryside, enjoy country living, and eventually God is going to lead all those who are truly listening to His voice out of large population areas into areas where they can commune with the Lord better and be safe, especially at the very end of time. But until the Lord gives us that indication, everyone needs to be listening to the Lord and bloom where you're planted. Mm. Be a witness in the city, in the country, wherever it is. But don't forget the people in the cities. Jesus ministered to them in the beautiful book of Matthew, and in chapter 9 it says that Jesus went from village to town, etc., and he healed the people, he preached the gospel, he was a powerful witness in the countryside and in the cities. Don't forget the people in the cities. Listen to God's voice, and he will lead you at the right time to a more country, rural area, but reach those people who desperately need the precious message that Jesus is coming soon.
You know, I was thinking of the message of the angel in Revelation 14 to every nation, kindred, exactly, tongue of people. So that would include both the people in the countryside and in the city.
Absolutely.
Some people ask about the kind of financial support that we were talking about with ASI members who are not only returning a faithful tithe and offerings, but are giving to special mission projects. Before we ask whether or not we should do that, let me ask, what motivates people to be that generous?
First of all, the Holy Spirit helps us to be people who have a generous, giving, loving spirit. And when you do that, then you're going to follow what God has said. 10% is mine, God said.
Called holy.
Everything is God's.
Right.
But 10%, and he tests us. And in the beautiful book of Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and then God will bless us. So you can test God. Not that you want to push him, but I mean, you can test him, and he will bountifully bless you. Offerings are to be given with a joyful spirit beyond that 10% according to your connection and your impressions from God.
And I think it says in Scripture in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver.
Exactly.
Because when we give, the blessing comes back to us.
Precisely.
Why don't you share a closing thought with us?
Friends, I hope you've been revived for a mission today. As we've heard about an exciting new way to reach others through cell phone evangelism. What a great way to reach the world for Jesus. The Lord has done so much for us, and he wants to give us the blessing of sharing him with others, pointing them to a better, a happier life here, as well as eternal life. Let's stay close to him, asking God each day to revive us for his mission. May the Lord bless you. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time here on Revival for Mission.